AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. It is Tuesday of Holy Week. Hope you're having a great morning. Wanted to read to you just a half of a scripture from Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. Very famous passage of scripture, very famous half a verse where Moses says to the people, "Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out." The full verse says, "But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." There's a famous quote, a little phrase that says this: "The wheels of God's justice grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine." Some years ago, I was listening to an interview with John MacArthur, and he was talking about time and truth. I've shared this before on the program, but time and truth go hand in hand. If you give something enough time, the truth will come out. If someone is lying, give it enough time, give them enough rope, and they'll hang themselves, and the truth will come out. And the Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 13, that the one who confesses his sin and forsakes his sin will find compassion, but the one who covers his sin, God, he will experience the justice of the Lord. And I'm butchering that a little bit in my mind, so I want to get that exactly right. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. The classic illustration in Scripture of Proverbs 28:13, "He who conceals or covers his transgressions will not prosper," is Achan. Achan in the book of Joshua. Achan was the one who took the things under the ban. He took that Babylonian coat that he found. He took some silver and some gold, and he took it to himself, and he put it in his tent. He dug a hole and covered it over in his tent. And those things, God had told the people, "Listen, everything in Jericho is under the ban. It belongs to me. You don't take any of it." And he took it. And he didn't think anyone saw. And with his family's knowledge, obviously, he buried them in his tent. He tried to cover his transgressions. And guess what? When you cover your transgressions, God uncovers it. And he was exposed as the one. People died because of his sin, and he was exposed as the one who brought trouble. His name meant trouble, Achan. He brought trouble to the tribe and to the camp of Israel. Well, if you cover your sin, God will uncover it. But if you uncover it, if you confess it and forsake it, then you find compassion from the Lord. Listen, we all live in a glass house. As the expression goes, he who lives in a glass house shouldn't throw stones. And so we need to be careful that we don't look down our long nose at somebody that has fallen into terrible, horrible sin, because they're but for the grace of God go I. And so we need to have compassion on people that have fallen. But we need to remember that be sure your sin will find you out. Think about different ones just in the last few years who were exposed as major frauds. Jussie Smollett. You know, he told the whopper of a story about being out in the middle of the night in freezing weather and approached by two guys who, you know, had terrible things to say about him and poured bleach on him, if I'm going off memory here, and put a noose around his neck. And all those things, it was all, he paid people to do that. And it was just all, you know, it was all a lie. He got exposed for that. Those guys told the story. This is what he did. This is what he had us say to him. And it was all staged. It was all a lie. And that has torpedoed that guy's life and career. You think of Pee Wee Herman. He just popped into my head. That guy ruined his life and career. Now, he wasn't trying to necessarily lie about it, but he did something so terrible, so horrible, thinking nobody would find out. But he did get found out. And be sure, your sin will find you out. We think of, in the Christian world, Bill Hybels. Well, Bill Hybels was the guy that started Willow Creek. He was the the guru of leadership. But then it came out that he was sexually immoral. He had a bad marriage. I'm assuming he's still married. But he was coming on to other women, and women came up out of the woodwork saying, he did this to me, he did that to me. And he had to resign in disgrace. And to my knowledge, he's never made that right. Stephen Lawson came out that this man in his early 70s was having a sexual relationship, an immoral relationship with a girl in her late 20s, and it just torpedoed his life. To his credit, he came out and confessed his sin, and he's trying to get his life back together, but it's tough to do when you're in your 70s and you've just kind of flushed your whole life's work for the Lord. Ravi Zacharias, just horrible, the things that came out about Ravi Zacharias. Be sure your sins will find you out. Tiger Woods in the news again for no doubt substance abuse. I feel bad for Tiger, but Tiger has brought a lot of this on himself. You know, Tiger was very immoral. I believe from the reports I've read, his dad was very immoral. He learned that from his father and torpedoed his first marriage and wrecked his family. He had nobody to blame but himself, but he started to think that, from what I can tell, an outsider looking in, that he was immune to this. I'm Tiger Woods, and I'm immune to my life imploding, but nobody's immune to that. And his life did implode, and it's really never been the same since it was exposed with his first wife that he was having affairs all over the place. Well, I was thinking today, she's been in the news a lot, Ilhan Omar, the Somali-born congresswoman from Minnesota. You know, there are lots of allegations about Ilhan Omar, going back to the fact that she lied on immigration papers and she's committed immigration fraud. I played you the clip yesterday from J.D. Vance saying that they know for certain, he's now the fraud czar, and they know for certain that she's committed fraud on her immigration. Listen to this clip again from Vice President J.D. Vance.
Talk about Ilhan Omar and exactly. Obviously Ilhan Omar, the president and the White House have been out saying that she married her brother, that there is immigration fraud going on here. These are deportable denaturalization offenses. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, so we actually think that Ilhan Omar definitely committed immigration fraud against the United States of America. And I talked to Stephen Miller about this actually recently. We're trying to look at what the remedies are. That's the thing that we're trying to figure out, is what are the legal remedies now that we know that she's committed immigration fraud? How do you go after her? How do you investigate her? How do you actually do the thing? How do you build the case necessary to get some justice for the American people? There's a related issue, Benny, which is she has been at the center of a lot of the worst fraudsters in the Somalian community. So do I know that Ilhan Omar was aware that the Quality Clearing Center was defrauding the American people? I'm not certain of it, but we at least need to investigate it, because if people can commit wrongdoing without even the fear that they're going to be found out, That's a fundamental problem. So I'm worried about the immigration fraud. I'm also worried about what did Ilhan Omar know about what was happening in the Somali community, and why was nobody looking into it until, frankly, Donald Trump came along?
So Ilhan Omar, not Ilhan, but Ilhan Omar, he says he knows for sure that she has committed immigration fraud. Well, that you can be deported for that. And then the amount of fraud associated with the Somali fraud there in Minnesota under the leadership of Governor Tim Walz, who is either, in my mind, he's either a total buffoon, where people can steal right under his nose and he can't figure it out. And when he's told about the fraud, he turns the other way. He's either a total buffoon or totally corrupt, or option number three, all of the above. But it's not a good look. I mean, however you're going to try and frame that, it looks terrible on him. And Ilhan Omar, as J.D. Vance said, well, you know, you ask yourself, well, does she know about these things? Because lots of people knew about it. It stands to reason that she did know about it. Now, the other thing about Ilhan Omar is people are questioning her rapid increase in wealth. You know, she it was reported she has there are two businesses. Now, Ilhan Omar, I did some research on her because I didn't know her background. So she was born in 1982, October 4th of 1982. She's been a rep congresswoman from Minnesota since 2019, elected in 2018. Somalian born, she fled at the age of 8. She spent 4 years in a Kenyan refugee camp, came to the United States in 1987. Became a United States citizen in 2000, has a bachelor's degree, I don't know what her degree is in it didn't say, from North Dakota State University. She worked as a community organizer as her first quote-unquote job out of college, a community organizer, what is that? That's what Obama was. It doesn't seem like a real job. And then got into politics. She was in the Minnesota House of Representatives in 2016 and then elected to the United States Congress in 2018. And along with Rashida Tlaib, also from Minnesota, she was the first Somali American in Congress. And she was part of the squad. You know, you hear about the squad. That's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ayanna Pressley, and then Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, the four that were part of the squad. They're radical liberal Democrats. They were going to get President Trump. We're going to impeach President Trump. That was what, you know, Rashida Tlaib said immediately. That's what we're going to do. And she had salty language to go with it to show you how tough she is. Ilhan Omar is a mother of three. She was married, well, actually, she had a religious marriage in 2002 to a man named Ahmed Hirsi. She was legally married to him in 2018, divorced him in 2019. She married a guy in 2009 named Ahmed Elmi, E-L-M-I, and divorced him in 2017. That's the one that they say is her brother, and you know, she says, "Oh, that's just ridiculous." You know, if somebody accuses you of being married to a sibling, it's real easy to disprove that once and for all. You take a DNA test, he takes a DNA test, and you say, "See, we're not related." I was going back and forth with Grok today, saying, "Well, why doesn't she do that?" And, well, it's, you know, Grok is liberal, and Grok's always trying to defend the liberals. As much as Grok will say that, and AI will say, we're independent, we're not conservative or liberal, I found Grok to be very liberal. But I said, if you wanted to disprove these allegations, rather than just saying they're not true, prove it, show. You know, like a paternity test. You just show, hey, I'm not related to this person. but she doesn't do that. So that's been the allegation. She married her brother, and now she's married. She divorced him in 2017, and now she's married to Tim Minette since March of 2020, and that's where the allegations of financial fraud come into the picture. And we'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. Be sure, Numbers 32:23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. You're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. You know, the eyes of the Lord, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13 says that the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees everything that we do. And as Samuel said, the Lord said to Samuel, God sees not as man sees. Man sees the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So not only does God see everything that happens, God sees the heart as to why you did what you did. He sees what you try and cover up and deceive people with. God can see through all of that, as the Lord said to Cain when the first murder occurred in Genesis chapter 4. Cain, where is your brother Abel? He said, how do I know? Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said to the murderer Cain, the voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. We can't, you're not going to be able to hide anything from God. Achan thought he could hide what he had stolen from Jericho, from Israel, and from God, but you can't. And if you try and cover your sin, God will uncover it. Now, Ilhan Omar, many of us, we look at what is going on in her life and we say, how long, O Lord, before the judgment comes? Well, the wheels of God's justice grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. Now, here's the thing with her. So, you know, obviously she is not pro-America. That is to be it's hard to even dispute that. She said something happened on 9/11. She's a Muslim, and she loves Somalia. And, you know, I don't understand. You love Somalia so much, go back and live there. But she likes living here. Well, she married this guy, her third marriage, Tim Minette. And doesn't have much money, and she has her salary as a congresswoman, whatever it is, $174,000 a year. Well, in 2023, here's the big deal. In 2023, they listed a winery that was making between $201 and $1,000, E. St. Croix Winery. And it's kind of a weird deal. They're getting grapes from somewhere else. They don't have land. They don't grow grapes. They get grapes and then supposedly produce wine. And we won these awards and all this stuff. But their sales are non-existent. That went from being worth $1,000 in 2023 to being worth supposedly $1 million to $5 million with no sales to substantiate that. Just crazy. He was making her husband less than $15,000 a year from this business, E. St. Croix. E-S-T-C-R-U. I guess that's how you say it, E. St. Croix. And then he's got another venture capital company that's registered in Delaware, Rose Lake Capital, and its valuation is somewhere between $5 million to $25 million in 2024, up from the valuation of $1,000 the year before. It's insane. It's like, well, how do things increase that much? And so people are asking questions. And she says, well, these are just valuations. It's not that we're making all this money. Well, this is what Steve Forbes, he was interviewed recently, and this is what he makes of these huge jumps in company valuations and in net worth. This is his opinion.
Steve, new information coming in, and Forbes magazine, your magazine, has reported this too, that the state of Delaware and Washington, D.C. canceled the registrations for Omar's husband's investment firm, Rose Lake, for not paying its back taxes. We saw it owed more than $400,000 to Delaware and nearly $1,800 to D.C. She's claiming it's worth $25 million from less than a grand a year before. How can his investment firm not afford to pay taxes? It's supposedly worth an estimated $75 million to $150 million. This is really weird stuff.
Well, weird is not the word for it. There's another word for it called crooked. And that's why we have to have an investigation into this. As you know, the Biden administration started examining her finances and that of her husband. And so surprise, surprise, that investigation went nowhere. But it's amazing how people can go into Congress and then become these entrepreneurial investing geniuses where they come in. She had under $1,000 of net worth and her husband didn't have much. And suddenly now they're multimillionaires. Is there a money laundering operation here? And in terms of the firms themselves, they have a sketchy background. That winery in California that she and her husband own. Where did that come from? Where's the wine there? And nobody can seem to find it. So there's a lot of smelly stuff here, and that's why in the American Dream, her version of the American Dream is the Al Capone version of the American Dream, Tony Soprano version of the American Dream, and that is steal it from the taxpayers. And so there's a lot of stuff here, and so when somebody cloaks themselves in the American Dream, and so you have numbers like this from minus 1,000 to 30, 40 million, you know something is not right.
Yeah, and she's also like, blaming people, bullying, doing race baiting, race bullying. There's no evidence, public evidence, there's even a winery. She valued it at $5 million. His investment firm is real. It's supposedly real. Its D.C. headquarters appear to share office space at a WeWork, Steve. There's no track record of his firm managing money, doing M&A deals. No clients we see, investment deals, or any work it's done. They say they do work in 80 nations operating in. There's no SEC registrations for them as investment advisors. What is going on here? This increasingly looks sketchy, both the winery and his investment firm.
Yeah, the winery may not exist, and the firm may be just a name only. As you say, a WeWork office, big deal. So that's why the investigation needs to be done. And suddenly all that $30 million I think you're going to find, I'll make a speculation, a prediction, that $30 million came from sources that are illegal, period.
Thank you so much, T. Forbes, helping us.
Yes. So I asked Grok, I said, what is the most plausible reason that a person would value their companies so highly when there's nothing to substantiate that? I said, would an honest businessman with integrity do that? And Grok, liberal-leaning Grok AI, said, well, no, an honest business person with integrity wouldn't do that. I said, well, what is the most plausible reason why they would do this? Is it stupidity or is it fraud? And AI said, fraud is the most plausible explanation over stupidity, given the specific facts, patterns, and context. I don't think Ilhan Omar is stupid. I think she is very skilled at shenanigans and at committing fraud. And so you have to have something. If you're going to get money, and if she's involved in the stealing of the taxpayers in Minnesota with all the, you know, all the fraudulent businesses that have been uncovered, if she's somehow getting money from that, well, she's got to be able to launder it somewhere. She's got to be able to show, oh, we made this money, you know, in wine sales, or we made this money in this venture capital business of my husband's. Because you can't just have all of a sudden all this money show up. But, you know, all those things have a paper trail, and they can be proven. Just like the people that, you know, get upset when you say, you know, it sounds like she committed immigration fraud with her by claiming that she was married to this guy who was her brother. Well, that can be proven. If you didn't do it and people are saying you did do it, I mean, if I was accused of something that I didn't do and I could easily prove you're whistling Dixie here, you're just making this stuff up, I would do that to clear my name because I wouldn't want a cloud over my name. But guess what? If you're lying about it, you definitely don't want to produce, a DNA test. Because then that'll show, hey, you are related to this guy. This guy is your brother. And so what is going to come out of this? Well, be sure your sin will find you out. Now, we know that some people, they seem to get away with evil. They seem to get away with sin. Sometimes it doesn't appear that justice hits them before they die. But the Lord tells us, Romans chapter 12, verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And so nobody ever gets away with sin. You know, people will say, well, Ravi Zacharias, all his sins didn't come out until after he was dead. Well, it just trashed his whole ministry. It trashed his legacy. I mean, that's what people think about now when they think of Ravi Zacharias. And, all the apologetics that he did in college campuses or around the nation, around the world, you know, it's just wood, hay, and straw, because the guy's lifestyle, he had a secret life. And I'm, you know, sobered by that, because all of us, we have to stand before God. He sees everything. He sees everything that we say. He sees everything that we do. He knows the motives of our hearts. He knows not only what we do and what we do in the, you know, when we're all alone, what we do in the darkness. He knows why we do what we do. You know, you get up to preach or to teach or to sing or to lead and to do something that would be a good, worthwhile, God-pleasing endeavor. But if you're doing it for self, if you're doing it with selfish motives, well, then it's wood, hay, and straw. It doesn't amount to anything. And when you stand before God as a believer, you stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, stand before the Lord Jesus, what he's going to test the quality of your work, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, with fire. And if you build with wood, hay, and straw on the foundation of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, it's all going to burn up. You yourself will be saved, the Bible says, yet so as through fire, but you'll have nothing to show for your time as a Christian. Now, I saw a clip of my friend Robert Jeffress, the pastor of First Baptist Dallas, And he was talking to Charles Swindoll, Chuck Swindoll, who is retired from the ministry, retired from the pastorate, still a witness and a minister for Jesus. But they were talking about this very subject. This is what Chuck Swindoll had to say.
Alexander White, one of my favorite biographers, writes in his work on the Old Testament characters, "We hang very heavy weights on very thin wires."
Yeah.
One of those thin wires is our reputation.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you can't fudge with the opposite sex. You can't sneak around and live a silent life, hidden life, and think it's not taking a toll. No man suddenly becomes base.
No
tree suddenly rots and falls. No church suddenly splits. No marriage suddenly ends in divorce. It's all got a history. And as you build toward that ultimate end of the great day we stand before our Savior, open, nothing to hide, how great it will be to know we did not exploit a congregation.
Yes.
We did not take advantage of someone. We did not use people. We loved them and appreciated them and encouraged them.
That was Chuck Swindoll talking about being able to stand before the Lord, knowing that you weren't perfect, but you walked in the light with Him. And that's the key. So 1 John, I go back to this a lot in my own mind, in my own heart. 1 John chapter 1, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another," us with God, "and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Listen, a walk with God is not a walk of perfection. It's a walk in the light. It's dealing with sin. It's not letting sin just foul and fester in a corner of your heart. It's not throwing a sheet over it and saying, "Nobody sees this," as you know, as Moses buried the dead Egyptian in the sand. Nobody sees this. He looked this way and that way and didn't see anybody, but he didn't look up. And God saw, and God exposed it. You cover your sin and God will uncover it. But if you uncover it and confess it and forsake it and let God know, "This is what I did, God, I'm so sorry," then the Lord will cover it in His blood and wash it white as snow. Hey, be sure, your sin will find you out. The wheels of God's justice grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. And let me encourage you, if you're living in sin, deal with it now. Deal with it today. Get it right with God. You have an opportunity to do that. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We've been talking about Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. The wheels of God's justice grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. Nobody gets away with sin. And listen, let's just be honest. Sin has a pull on your life, on my life. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, "The good that I do, I don't do. The evil that I don't want to do, I do. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" Romans chapter 6 tells us we're dead to sin, but Romans chapter 7 tells us, but we still have that battle with sin, as Galatians 5 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." So we're dead to sin, but we still struggle with sin, Romans 7, and the victory is in Romans chapter 8, when we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. If by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, Paul says, you will live. And so we know from Scripture that nobody gets away with sin. David thought he was going to get away with sin with the one night of sexual immorality with Bathsheba, but what happens? She ends up pregnant, and then he tries to fix the situation by bringing Uriah the Hittite back and hoping that he'll sleep with his wife when he came back from the battle, and then he'll think the baby is his and all will be well, and he can just cover over that sin and nobody will be the wiser. But Uriah has too much honor. He won't do it. And so David ends up having to kill Uriah through the sword of the sons of Ammon. And he writes that note, and he even gives it to Uriah. Give this note to Joab, the general. And it said, put Uriah in the fiercest part of the battle and then withdraw from him so that he dies. I like what Adrian Rogers says about David's sin. He said, when he sinned with Bathsheba, that was a hot-blooded sin of passion. But when he sinned against Uriah the Hittite, that was a cold-blooded sin of calculated murder. Just so horrible. And that's a man after God's own heart. Listen, if David could commit that grave sin, those grave sins, plural, don't ever think you're immune to that. And that's why we need to stay connected to the Lord. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And we are a sitting duck. Jesus, I was reading just this morning in my quiet time as Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and told his disciples, watch and pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. And so we need to be praying. We need to be alert. And we need to be very, very careful. And when we sin, we need to immediately confess that, get it under the blood, and get back to walking with God in the light. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment. And we have David on the line from Florida. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning, Pastor.
Yes, good morning, Pastor.
Yes, good morning, Pastor.
Yes, good morning, Pastor.
Yes, good morning. Uh-oh. We have... He's on repeat. Okay, I think he'll... David, go ahead. We have... Oh, there he is. Is this another David from Florida?
No, this is the same one.
Okay, same one. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I was just reflecting on what you said from the get-go about just revealing your sins. And I was at church Sunday, and they sang a song about you forgot your past. And I had to go up front of the congregation and go, I can't forget my past because I hung around with Barabbases. I hung around with prostitutes. I hung around with drunkards. But through the grace of God, the blood he shed, I'm a new man. I'm a new creation.
Amen.
And I just praise the Lord for what he has done in my life. And it just lifted the burden off for me. It just made me feel good that Christ is in my life. And it draws me closer to him and takes away that other layer that I had to have removed. And exposing, and I didn't care. I don't care what anybody says about me. I want to be truthful with my Lord and Savior and be walking with him hand in hand through this journey I am here on this earth at this time.
Amen to that.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's very good, David. Well, I think about King David's Psalm of Repentance, when he says, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. He was a sinner from the womb. And he says this, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being. That means you walk in the light. You're not duplicitous in any way. There is truthfulness, and God knows you. He knows everything about you, but you have made yourself known to the Lord. You're not covering anything up. And when you sin, you immediately confess it. I think we get ourselves in trouble, as Solomon said, I pass by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. This is in Proverbs 24. And he said, it was all broken down. Weeds were growing everywhere. He said, I looked and received instruction, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And then your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. What does all that mean? He sees this broken down vineyard and he says, hey, guess what? That didn't get like that all at once. It got like that little by little by little by little. That's exactly what Chuck Swindoll was saying. A tree doesn't fall from rot overnight. The rot takes time to just disintegrate that tree from the inside out. And so we have to be very careful and vigilant that we're not allowing sin to get into our hearts and lives, that we're confessing our sins to the Lord, that we're confessing our sins to one another, as it says in James, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And so we need to be practicing that, because no one is immune. And the three areas that will tank a person: money, sex, and power. Those are the three key areas, especially for leaders. Deuteronomy chapter 17, the Lord lays out for, these are the requirements and stipulations for a king. He's got to watch out for money, sex, and power. He's not to multiply wives for himself. He's not to multiply silver and gold. He's not to multiply horses. And so we get in trouble with those three big areas: money, sex, and power. People in politics, money, sex, and power. People in ministry, we're tempted with money, sex, and power. And we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. So I appreciate that, David. Thank you for your honesty. We have Scott on the line from Mississippi. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
So much I'd like to talk to you about this morning. I'm going to try to narrow it down to just a couple of things. One, as a pastor, are you, without succumbing to fear, are you taking any precautions or leading your congregation in any way to have any more defensive posture for possible attacks by sleeper cells coming on and during the Easter celebration this Sunday? Changing times or adding security, or I know y'all already have viable security, but are there extra precautions being taken, and what is your take on that?
We're not. We have ample security here every time we're gathered, especially on Sunday. I think we have six or seven officers that are here. And we have cameras everywhere. We're watching people coming in to make sure, you know, if somebody looks suspicious out in the parking lot, we're going to greet them at the door before they ever get in. So we do that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. If I lived in a larger city, Dallas or Houston or something like that, I might ramp up security. But we feel very, very well protected here. And obviously, you know, you can set up all the safeguards you want. If somebody wants to cause harm, it's going to be very, very difficult to prevent that completely. Just like, you know, you can set up all the safeguards for your kids, and you just can't police something 24/7 to the point. So you have to just turn your kids over to the Lord. You have to trust the Lord. You have to say, God, we're trusting you. We ask you to put your hedge of protection. We're doing all that we can do from the human standpoint, but we eventually just get to the place where we say, Lord, but we're trusting you, because you're ultimately our defender. So that's kind of how we're doing it. Sunday after Sunday, and any time we gather, we always have police presence here.
That's kind of what I was afraid you were going to say, because based on our local congregation and our son's involvement as a law enforcement officer on their security team. There's mostly volunteers, and they know very little about real security tactics, and they're doing, they say they're doing what they can, but they're really leaving a lot of openings, and are really not deterring. Very predictable and very soft targets, and you can imagine. I think we need to be in extra prayer for our nation's Christian gatherings this Sunday, to the effect that we're taking the precautions, but God's going to always have to do more than his share to overcome our negligence, whatever you want to call it. I wanted to make a quick announcement.
Yeah, we're definitely not negligent, and all our security, none of them are volunteer. They're all officers. They're paid officers. And so they know about law enforcement. They know how to protect. They know how to use a gun and all those things. I know that some churches aren't able to do that. They can't afford that. And so they do have just volunteers in their congregation. We don't do that. So if we had an issue, those guys would be able to jump on it and arrest people and that kind of thing. But I appreciate the call, Scott, and I do think that is a good word just for Christians to be aware. And, you know, we want to be shrewd as serpents, as Jesus said, be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. And so we don't want to be naive. We know that the enemy is out there. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And we resist him firm in our faith. And we need to do what we can do and trust the Lord with what we can't do. So the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Ultimate victory is going to come from God. But that doesn't mean you don't do your part. You even think about David fighting Goliath. As a young shepherd boy, he was learning how to use that sling. He was practicing. He was building up his courage when the lion or the bear came after his sheep. He went after them. So it's not like he had done nothing before he faced off with Goliath. He had won some lesser battles that prepared him for the greater battle. I remember a friend of mine, Steve Brumbelow, we were talking about preaching, and you know, he and I were both huge Adrian Rogers fans, and he said, you know, Adrian didn't preach like Adrian right out of the chute. He said, you gotta learn to crawl before you can walk, and you gotta learn to walk before you can run, and you gotta learn to run before you can fly, and you get better and better in communicating the word of God the more that you practice with this, and the more that you do it, and the more that you learn and grow in your knowledge of Scripture, and you know, study, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, study to show yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. And so we need to be able to handle the Bible accurately. I know way more about Scripture now as 63-year-old pastor than I did when I started 23 years ago at First Baptist Texarkana as a 40-year-old. And I wasn't a novice at 40, and I was learning and growing, but it's just you have way more in the tank with all those years and sermons that you've listened to and passages that you've studied and commentaries that you've read. All that stuff is down in the well. And that's why guys can be extremely effective in those later years, you know, age 60 to 75. If you've been at this for a while, you have a lot in the tank, and you have a lot that you can share with others. And the key thing is to remain humble before the Lord. He says, but to this one will I look, to him who is humble and contrite and who trembles at my word. And so we have to stay humble before the Lord. Well, Randy, I don't hear the music, but I think it's, there it is. All right. Well, I was looking at the time, and I know that we're toward the end of the broadcast. Hey, thanks so much for listening, and really take heed. I'm talking to myself. Be sure your sin will find you out, and we want to live open, an open life, walking in the light with the Lord, confessing our sin, making sure that our hearts stay right with him. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. You can reach me, Pastor Jeff, at fromhisheart.org. That's Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. God bless you.
Faith, Family, Freedom. American Family Radio.